Welcome back to the Front Porch. Dwayne Thames alongside Jess Siebert from Tescott, Kansas, talking about her and her operation with her husband, Levi. As far as irons in the fire, we got a few more to get down. I mean, it sounds like a lot. You've got things going on at the ranch. I want to talk a little bit about the brush control project that you guys got into three, four years ago.
2018 is the fall of 2018 is when we first ventured out into being stewards of the land, a stockman, as we say. We bought some brush Spanish goats from San Angelo, Texas.
So, and that, I suspect, was a bit of a learning curve.
It's been a big one. When we bought the... We dove in and bought 300 nannies and
nothing like go big or go home.
Yeah,
and 300 nannies, never had a goat on the place before.
Nope, I've never been around it at all. Not even sheep.
Congratulations, you've figured out how to learn and learn fast.
Yes, we have, and we dove in that with my brother and my parents as well. So we were all learning at this at the same time, but. In our area, we've got a lot of buckbrush and shumac, evergreens, just brush is taking over. As, you know, different parts of Kansas, we've all established this. But we just, time is of the essence sometimes for Levi and I, and we wanted to not have to sit in a skid loader all the time and clean up brush. So a mentor of ours let us lease some nannies from him. We kind of got our feet wet the good way. His nannies were the best of the best, and we didn't have any problems. So when we bought big, and they came from a drought area, hadn't seen rain, I think, their whole life. And we bought them, and then the next 3 days, it rained 7 inches.
Oh, well, welcome to mud in Kansas from San Antonio's baked earth.
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
Not in our favor.
Yeah, I expect.
Goats do not, they're like cats. They don't like water. Especially standing in it or being in it. So we had shelter for them. They were out in a pasture. They did great. But the minute we ran out of forage and stuff for them to eat, we had to dry lot them. Again, a goat is not meant to be dry lotted. So we learned the hard way. Could I say we've got it all figured out? No, but it is on the uppity up, and we're making money, which is another thing we wanted to do, make more money on the same piece of ground, cleaned it up. As well as why we're doing it. So
I was going to ask, so what do you think the success on brush and trash species, have they been successful?
Absolutely. And they don't compete with the cattle. So we can co-graze with our cow herd. When we triple stock and rotate pastures, I would like to go back into that pasture with the goats and clean up that pasture. So we've got some winter pastures that we feed from middle of January to May 1st. And a certain area that gets pretty trashy, a lot of weeds come back, and those goats will clean it up. And you can see that there is not, the native grass is still there. They've cleaned it up, and grass is doing great. I'm very pleased with that aspect. Evergreens, they will only eat when there's nothing else out there green. So you want to hit the evergreen trees, cedar trees, when it's winter months. So we go out in December, January, February, March, and those pastures and hit the evergreen, and they will go up as high as they can reach and then sometimes climb on each other and get a big tree. They'll eat all the green off. They'll eat the bark off and essentially kill the evergreen.
That's impressive. Now, you brought up something that I hadn't even thought about, and that is those calving pastures that you typically don't put any pressure on during the growing season so that you get that grass growth. But that also means that you have all the invasives that can come in during that growing season as well. That sounds like a great plan where they come in and eat all of that stuff out but leave the native alone.
Absolutely. They don't touch the native grass. The only grass that we've seen them natively love is brome. They like it green. They like it in a bale. They love brome.
Green and in a bale. Well, there aren't many livestock that aren't that aren't happy with that, but that does make an interesting deal. So, and the bonus part of it, this goat market has been pretty hot the last couple of years and doesn't look like it's going to slow down.
No, it's been tremendous as way, and it keeps growing because of we sell here in Clay Center, Kansas, and they go back east with them, and that market is a growing commodity that sometimes they don't have enough the buyers are needing more. So it's continued to grow, I think. And as young producers do want to diversify a little bit more, talking with some other producers at different meetings that I attend, there's the biggest challenge is fencing. If you don't have the fence, I don't recommend getting goats or sheep in your operation. But doing more on the same piece of ground is getting to be a big commodity, an idea that a lot of people are not as opposed as my grandfather would be to try to challenge themselves to want to learn a new species.
I suspect there would be more than one grandfather out there that wouldn't be terribly happy to see goats running out across the cow pastures. But obviously, you guys are making it work. And the flip side is that you haven't reduced the capacity or productivity of the grass for the cows that you're running on it.
We haven't. That has been the biggest thing, a biggest concern. You know, sometimes sheep compete for the same native grasses, but goats do not. And they're a herd animal just like cattle. So typically in the pastures, you can see the cattle are grazing first and the goats are coming along behind or vice versa, depending on who was out there first gets to dominate again with that. But our guard dogs have been a good asset. It can commingle now with calving season. We have one guard dog that protects us from predators there, and we haven't had any trouble with coyotes like we have in the past. So another asset that was added to our operation, having guard dogs.
What kind dog are you using?
We have a Great Pyrenees, and then we also have an Angolian and a donkey. But
yeah, nothing like a mountain canary around just to keep the kids happy.
Right, right.
I suspect. So you talked about fence. You do have a bit of an in on that side of it with your partner.
Absolutely. So Levi's works for Stay-Tough Fence. It's a fixed knot woven wire. He's a territory rep for Kansas, Nebraska, and Colorado. But a good product. If we would have known many moons ago when we put in any new fence, we would have went with that all the way. Different from the old woven wire because of the way the fixed knot is. It slides, and there's 20-year warranties. There's lots of different benefits for it, but you've got different kinds of fixed knot fence. So you've got the cattle tough, and then we've got goat fence, both put up on our operations. The cattle fence helps with the calving so that the calves don't go out on the road and go through like sometimes they do with barbed wire, and then we can run goats there, and they won't get out as well. Sometimes they get their heads stuck because it is a little bit bigger square, but then at the headquarters where we kit out the goats, we use the goat fence so that we don't have to worry about predators coming in and the babies getting out.
I got to thinking about it recently that we are in the midst of calving season, but weaning time, I'm thinking, man, what a product for a fence line weaning scenario. You don't have to worry about calves crawling through fences getting back to cows if you got something like that between them.
Right. You got to be careful on your spacing on that on high pressure areas, but it has worked tremendously for us on that. It goes up for the same as 5-strand barbed wire fence does. So, you know, the cost is the same on that, but it's helped us and it's helped a lot of people in the state of Kansas that he's got set up using Stay-Tough on that calving, weaning, and dual species.
So you got cows, you got goats, you got an insemination business. He's working Stay-Tough. You're working for Calf News and us as well. And you got a couple of kids.
Yes, an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old that is heavily involved in showing.
That's gotten to be a little bit more of a time consideration as of late, I understand.
Yes, thanks to COVID. we didn't have a big show year that 2020, but he then decided in 2021 that he wanted to hit a show as many weekends as he could. And so coming March, we hit one every weekend that we could. And he does good with it. He's learning, and that's what it's about.
And one of the species we haven't even discussed yet is something that that he's involved in. Might as well throw something else on the farm.
Absolutely. So he loves to show market hogs, and he has got a knack for it. And so that's another species that you got to learn about. Different things could happen and how to keep them healthy and doing good for him.
I'm sitting here running this through my mind. It's like Old MacDonald has nothing on the Ebert family in terms of stock around that that you guys have got. But you grew up with it. I know Levi did as well. And now you have another generation of kids that you're bringing through the 4-H program. And, boy, it the great thing is that you guys as parents obviously allowed the young or the oldest a little bit of flexibility to step out and find his own thing, and that's a great attribute for any parent. So they got the pig deal going on, you got everything else going on. Free time, kids play ball too, or do we have any night of the week free?
My youngest is into soccer.
Oh, there you go.
But it's just the month of April, so it's not as bad. But we do have practice one night a week, and then the games are every Saturday. So it overlaps with shows, but thankfully we have a network of my family there that if we're off with a show with my oldest, that my youngest could still stay home and go to his soccer games. But yeah, he's got the show bug as well. So
I was going to say, he's how old?
He's 7, but he just turned 7 in January. So we're
He missed the January 1 date.
He did. So we got one more year of open shows and clover bud type stuff. But he's been showing since he was 1.5. So he's very competitive, and the competition every county fair is if he can beat his brother in the open show.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And last year, his brother, the oldest one, beat him. So he got a little humbling factor, and it was great to see, because somebody sometimes needs to have that happen to you.
We'll be back with the final segment on the front porch after this.